WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. A stopgap funding bill to avert a government shutdown at the end of the month is headed to President Biden's desk. The legislation will keep the lights on until December 20th. Lawmakers will now head out of town until after the election. With just 41 days to the vote, Vice President Harris and former President Trump are focused today on the economy. Governor Ron DeSantis is telling Florida residents in the path of Hurricane Helene to leave now.
You have time today to do what you need to do. Once it gets tonight into tomorrow, you're going to be out of time. So make these decisions now. Execute your plan.
The storm is expected to make landfall tomorrow night in the Big Bend area, a Category 4 storm with a possible 20-foot storm surge. President Biden's expected to announce a new package of military aid to Ukraine when he meets with President Zelensky at the White House tomorrow. This is ABC News. A new report points to multiple Secret Service failures in the attempted assassination of former President Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania.
The bipartisan Senate report finds the failures at the Butler Farm Show were foreseeable and preventable. One county emergency services commander told the panel a pre-event walkthrough with Secret Service was incredibly disorganized and ended with the sense that there was really no plan. When shooter Thomas Crooks was first identified by law enforcement, word was never passed to the former president's detail, even as counter-snipers saw local police approaching Crooks with their guns drawn.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. Thailand's king has signed a landmark marriage equality bill allowing same-sex couples to marry. It's the first such bill in Southeast Asia. It grants married couples full legal, financial, and medical rights, regardless of their gender. The bill takes effect in January. Pope Francis has recovered from a mild case of flu. He leaves for a visit to Luxembourg and Belgium tomorrow. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Do you have a home you'd like to rent out but don't know where to start? Consider Simple Life Rentals, a property management company partnered with booking sites like Airbnb and Expedia, amplifying your home's exposure to the marketplace. Simple Life Rentals screens guests and creates an owner portal with analytics, rental agreements, and legal guidelines. We give you complete visibility into how your manager's doing, ensuring your property is well-maintained and maximizing your return on investment. Get peace of mind. Simple Life Rentals.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at wgbw.fm.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin State Law Library will have a new name. The state's high court and the director of state courts announced it'll be dedicated to Lavinia Goodell. She was Wisconsin's first woman to become a lawyer. In 1874, she overcame barriers to practice law and worked to open the doors to other women. Currently, the library is named after former conservative justice David Prosser. That was a controversial move in 2016, in part because Prosser put his hands on the neck of a fellow female justice and claimed self-defense. He was recommended to be found guilty of ethics violations, but justices recused themselves, so the charges went nowhere. Brett Favre revealed Tuesday that he has been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. The revelation came while Favre was testifying in front of Congress over a controversy that started in 2020, where he was accused of misusing funds intended to help low-income families. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
A potential playoff preview looms this week. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Milwaukee Brewers are all but locked into the third seed in next month's MLB playoffs. The NL Central champions beat Pittsburgh yesterday 7-2. The Brewers will play the Pirates again this evening. This weekend, Milwaukee takes on the New York Mets in what could be a playoff matchup. Green Bay has won two in a row with backup quarterback Malik Willis at the helm. Coach Matt LaFleur said Willis has picked up the offense quickly.
I just cannot articulate the job that he's done in the short period of time. People can't fathom it. I promise you. You guys don't get it. I know you think you got it, but you don't get it. What he's been able to do is I've never seen something like this.
Starting quarterback Jordan Love, who practiced all of last week, has missed two games with an MCL sprain but could return this week. Kickoff against the Minnesota Vikings is at noon on Sunday. And former Packers quarterback Brett Favre said during a congressional hearing on welfare reform Tuesday that he has Parkinson's disease. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A clear sky tonight, a low in the low 50s. Mostly sunny and warmer for tomorrow, a high in the upper 70s. And near 80 degrees and mostly sunny Friday. For the upcoming weekend, more sunshine than clouds and temps stay mild with highs around 80. Right now it's 73.
Coming up on our next show, author and blogger Sarah Connery is in to talk about her book, 100 Things to Do in Green Bay Before You Die.
And Ryan Rasmussen from the Oshkosh Area Community Pantry joins us to talk about changes with their program. Join us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who believes a penny saved isn't jack Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. It's when you have an energetic and charismatic guest like Charo, I mean, her energy is unmatched, really. But when you have someone like that, it's fun when you read the comments from people who are listening. And we've gotten a few. They're just so basic but true. Charo is so fun. A national treasure. Vicky says, fantastic interview, Pete. Thank you, Vicky. And Gabriel, great interview. Thank you, Gabriel. But they're all, her energy is infectious. And the stories, she's someone you want to sit down with and spend an hour, really, because she started toward the end of the interview. A lot of times she starts talking about Elvis and Sammy Davis Jr. And I'm like, oh, my God, I want to hear all of that. So we would love to have her back sometime. That was a lot of fun. All right. So we're going to pivot right now to we have no guest. Okay. What happened?
I don't know.
Take a wrong turn at Albuquerque or something. All right. Well, we'll work on getting Jesse March. Did we confirm with Jesse?
Yeah.
Okay. He might have car trouble or something. You know what? We'll get Jesse. We'll work on getting Jesse. Rock Rubin coming up at 7:35. We're going to discuss the show King of Queens. Rock was on the show. On the writing staff and became an executive producer and was there for the entire run of the show. And King of Queens dropped this week in 1998. So they are like, 26 years. And we'll talk to Rock about the legacy of King of Queens. That is one of those shows that the more people I meet, I'm just floored at how many people have found the show after it went into reruns. And I think that's how a lot of people find shows. You know, you don't have time to watch it when it's on every week. You forget it's on, whatever. You haven't heard about it. You don't know if you want to commit to it. But when it's on in reruns, it's so much easier just to pick up because you can watch it every night. And I know that show in particular picked up a ton of fans when it went into reruns. And it was highly rated when it was on, too. But that's something we'll talk to Rock about. And they had a lot of fun guest stars in that show, too. So I'm gonna talk to him about that as well. All right. So until we get Jesse, I want to talk. This is a big week for birthdays in show business. We've got you got Michael Douglas today. Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas have the same birthday, and they're married. Now, I'm not saying that's impossible. There's like 8 billion people on the planet, only 365 birthdays, but that's kind of cool. Phil Hartman had a birthday today, I believe. It was either today or yesterday. He passed away. He was murdered at 50. I think his wife, a murder-suicide. That, hearing that news, I mean, literally, figuratively rocked me to my core. He was like one of the most multi-talented, the multitude of voices he did and the characters he played. To think that he died at 50 and left us with Troy McClure, Lionel Hutz, his character on news radio, all of his SNL characters, all of his bit roles in movies he did. The guy is a comedic treasure. So let's, do we have some Phil ready to go, right?
Yeah. I got to say that SNL skit you sent.
How funny is that?
So good.
Okay.
And you told me to cut it off, you know, where you wanted, but I kept watching. Right, okay. I was like,
we can play.
Never seen that before.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I've never seen that skit.
It's so brilliant. This is Phil Hartman from Saturday. This is a little long. We usually keep our clips to about a minute and a half, maybe two. This is about a 3-minute clip, but it's really funny. It's a great skit, and he's great in it. He plays Key Rock, and you probably remember the skit if you watch the sketch, if you watch SNL, but it's Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer.
To go. A caveman was out hunting on the frozen wastes when he slipped and fell into a crevasse. In 1988, he was discovered by some scientists and thawed out. He then went to law school and became Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer.
He used to be a caveman, but now he's a lawyer. Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer.
Brought to you by Gas Plus. Actually gives you gas for those times when you feel like being the Joker. And by National Escort Service. If we don't get a prostitute to your door within 15 minutes, you don't pay. And by Happy Fun Ball. Still legal in 16 states. It's happy, it's fun, it's Happy Fun Ball. And now, tonight's episode of Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer.
Mr. Key Rock, are you ready to give your summation?
It's just Key Rock, Your Honor, and yes, I'm ready. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I'm just a caveman. I fell in some ice and later got thawed out by some of your scientists. Your world frightens and confuses me. Sometimes the honking horns of your traffic make me want to get out of my BMW and run off into the hills or whatever. Sometimes when I get a message on my fax machine, I wonder, did little demons get inside and type it? I don't know. My primitive mind can't grasp these concepts. But there is one thing I do know. When a man, like my client, slips and falls on a sidewalk in front of a public library, then he is entitled to no less than $2 million in compensatory damages and $2 million in punitive damages. Thank you.
The jury will now retire to deliberate.
Your Honor, we don't need to retire. Key Rock's words are just as true now as they were in his time. We give him the full amount.
Did you hear that, Mr. Key Rock?
Hang on a second. I'm sorry, Your Honor. I was listening to the magic voices coming out of this strange modern invention.
This has been Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer.
He also played Frankenstein on, I don't remember the exact circumstances of the skit, but he played Frankenstein on, and they sang Christmas carols, and he was just so funny. Do we have, can we do some Lionel Hutz? These
yes.
are a couple of clips we yeah. have of yep. Phil Hartman on The Simpsons. He played this horrible lawyer called Lionel Hutz. And this is just a beautiful work by Phil Hartman.
Mr. Simpson, I was just going through your garbage and I couldn't help overhearing that you need a babysitter. Of course, being a highly skilled attorney, my fee is $175 an hour.
We pay $8 for the night and you can take 2 popsicles out of the freezer.
3.
2.
Okay, 2. And I get to keep this old birdcage.
Done.
Still got it. Oh, sure. Like lawyers work in big skyscrapers and have secretaries. Look at him. He's wearing a belt. That's Hollywood for you.
Mr. Hutz, why are you burning all your personal papers?
As of this moment, Lionel Hutz no longer exists. Say hello to Miguel Sanchez.
Do we have more Lionel Hutz?
Yeah, we do.
Let's do the other Lionel Hutz one, too. This is, he's on trial. What's the trial? He's
with a do, right?
A poo. A poo. And he has to go and call. He's feeling the urge to drink. So he goes to call his AA sponsor, who is David Crosby, in the middle of the trial, then comes back.
Now, a poo, Mrs. Simpson claims that she forgot she was carrying that bottle of delicious bourbon. Brownest of the brown liquors. So tempting. What's that? You want me to drink you? But I'm in the middle of a trial. Excuse me. Hello, David. I'm really tempted.
Just take it one day at a time and know that I love you.
I love you too, man. The Pima Petalon, if that is your real name. Have you ever forgotten anything?
No.
Well, if you never forget anything, tell me this. What color tie am I wearing?
You are wearing a red and white striped club tie in a half Windsor knot.
Oh, I am I? Is that what you think? Well, if that is what you think, I have something to tell you. Something that may shock and discredit you. And that thing is as follows. I'm not wearing a tie at all.
Your Honor, I move for dismissal.
I move for a bad court thingy.
You mean a mistrial?
Yeah, that's why you're the judge and I'm the law-talking guy.
The lawyer.
Right.
The foreman will pass the verdict to the bailiff. This verdict is written on a cocktail napkin. And it still says guilty. And guilty is spelled wrong. Will the foreman please read the real verdict?
We find the defendant guilty.
Do I still get paid?
That's Phil Hartman. At some point, we have Troy McClure. He plays the washed-up actor Troy McClure on The Simpsons as well. That was a loss. That's one of those deaths that I remember exactly where I was when I found out that Phil Hartman had died. And it was just terrible. In fact, we talked earlier about the movie Quick Change, which is our new Wisco pick of the week. And he has a small role in Quick Change, too, as a renter who finds Bill Murray and his crew in his apartment. And it's a great scene between two great actors. And Phil Hartman is just hilarious in it. So keep those Troy McClure clips, though, too, though.
Of course.
We'll have to keep those on file. And we'll get to those. But Rock Rubin is coming up at 7:35. And we'll have Jesse March in just a few minutes, too. He is going to join us over the stream after a... Can we bring Jesse on quick and just say hello, and then we'll do a quick break, and we'll come back and ask him about the... Do we have time to say hi?
Hi.
Hi, Jesse.
Hi, Pete. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. I apologize for the time. I was thinking you were coming in at 7:35. This is totally my bad, but we'll find out everything about your theater coming up next, all right? I'm so glad you're here, buddy. And Festival Theater, he's joining us from St. Croix Falls on the other side of the state, and we're going to hear all about this awesome theater that he is a part of coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org. That's 800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You've seen her dressed in blue. See the sky in front of you.
We are lighting it up, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with me wherever you are joining me from, all over the great state of Wisconsin. We're broadcasting live from beautiful downtown Green Bay on a gorgeous night, and we are going across the state right now to St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin, and our next guest, Jesse March from the Festival Theater. Jesse, how are you?
I'm so great. So nice to chat with you again, Pete. How you doing?
I'm doing very well, and I apologize if we had a time mix up. We'll have you back on again before your big show, but let's jump into it now. The last time you were on the show, you told us about this huge renovation you had going on at the Festival Theater. That's done now?
Yes, it is. The theater is up and running. It is absolutely gorgeous. It is a 268 1916 vaudeville house right on the St. Croix River.
Oh, wow. So
it is exquisitely beautiful.
What's the capacity in there, Jesse? Last time you were here, you gave us a lot of details about this theater, and talk a little bit about what that was like getting all the resources to build it up a little bit.
Absolutely. It was actually a pretty big joint venture from a lot of folks. So this theater, the great thing about it is it took about 8 years for this process to happen. So we had a couple of builders and people who came in, Rick Fenzina, who came in as long as Jeff Virchow. There were two guys who came in to help make this theater come back to life. They sort of did the renovations and have been working with Festival Theater and another company, River Rose Management, to try and make this place what it is. And it's gone through a lot of iterations. So like I said, it's a 1916 vaudeville house. So it was built a long, long time ago, over 100 years ago. It's been used for theater. It's been used as a temporary hospital. It was used as a movie theater for a long time. So a lot of the patrons who've been coming in recently have been telling us stories. Oh, I remember seeing this movie, and this is where the popcorn machine went, things all like that. And then Festival Theater came in and was doing a lot of shows there just before it closed. And then we've been in the process of revamping this place over the past 8 years. And it has finally gotten to a space of reopening just now. So it's 268 seats. And it is a gorgeous theater. It is absolutely incredible. It looks right out on the river. The stage has been redone, all new state-of-the-art sound. We have a full light board, a whole new light grid. The backstage has been redone. We have a new loading dock. All of the small little bits that make it so lovely to create work in there have all sort of come together. And we opened with a show that had some pretty rave reviews, the Spitfire Grill, which is not an original piece of theater, but it opened and people seemed to really, really enjoy it and love how the theater was living, and particularly like the sound quality and the sight lines and things like that. People just were raving about it.
You know, I've been reading about it, and it sounds like just a really intimate atmosphere and experience. When you have a theater like that, How important is the space to the overall theater experience? Like, you have the action and the actors and what's going on the stage and the story, and people have to be invested in that. But as a complement, how important is it to have a space that complements what's happening on stage?
I think it adds a nice little, like, delightful cherry on top. I think, you know, I think theater and art can happen in any space. I've seen stuff happen outside. I've seen stuff happen in the smallest of spaces. But I think when you have somewhere that's really, really incredible, it just adds this extra dimension that is, it's hard to put a finger on, but you kind of settle in and sink into a feeling of being like at home in a comfortable space. There's a bit of grandeur that comes to it that really just pops it. And for this show, for Heck, this show is about a cabaret, the Devil's Cabaret. And so it kind of adds this extra little like pizzazz to the experience, which is such a delight. That's part of why Catherine Cesars and I, the co-writers of Heck, were so excited to work with this theater. Because it would have this element of grandioseness, this grandeur.
So that's what's going to kick off, is at the grand opening for the theater right before Halloween, is the show about the devil. I think that's great. Tell us where people can get tickets and a little bit more about the plot of the show, if you would.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can get tickets at festivaltheater.org, festival theater with an RE.org.
Okay.
That's where you can get your tickets. It runs October 11th through the 27th. And the show is about, it's an original musical comedy, which is pretty rare these days to have an original show. That's something special that really we're trying to highlight, is that this is all new, world premiere, has never been seen anywhere else.
Nice.
It is about the devil herself and her emotional support demon, Belfo. That's this guy right here. And she is navigating her breakup with her ex, which is God. And it happened just 6,000 years ago. So it is still very fresh for her. So she's still working out a lot of her feelings, and she's putting on this show to help make herself feel better.
Okay.
And we've got a lot of really incredible elements to the piece. We've got original music. We've got puppetry. We have a little bit of stage magic, some mentalism. We've got it's a whole experience.
Wow.
To be had. And it's funny, especially for the Halloween season. It's a really great piece.
So they broke up. Did God give her the old "I just want to be friends" routine, or do you delve into
that's
that?
The question. I mean, you have to find out. You know, where who broke up with whom?
Okay.
What was the situation? It's kind of an on again, off again kind of a thing.
Let's just tease it with that. We don't want to give it away. You have to go see the play to find out. So where can people get tickets, Jesse?
Festivaltheater.org. You can go check us out online. Get your tickets. And we have lots of seats available because it's 268 seats per night, but it is filling up fast. People are pretty excited. We did a cabaret in the Twin Cities to, I think, a crowd of 600, and people were just eating it up.
Nice.
So, there are lots of fun acts, and the music is this like really incredible, like pre-war era jazz that goes into some rock and pop in some parts, but it's a really classy feel to the music.
Very cool. Well, you were nice enough to offer tickets, and maybe we'll do that before you guys open, before opening night. We'll have you back and we could do like a ticket giveaway. I tried to get your offer was very generous to Charo. We ran out of time, but we'll see. You know, maybe you should go see her in Baraboo and she'll come up and check out.
Yeah,
the
maybe I'll send her a message.
Yeah.
Have her people talk to my people.
Absolutely. Hey, this was fun. We cut it short, but we'll have you back before the show opens up. Thanks so much for your time, buddy, as always.
Thanks so much, Pete.
You're welcome. That's Jesse March from the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls, beautiful St. Croix Falls, Wisconsin. All right. Well, it's still not too late to get in on the question of the night, which is, what is your favorite remake? There's a lot of remakes out, and we want to know what your favorite one is. We'll read it on the radio, and we'll be right back with King of Queens writer and executive producer Rock Rubin, who will tell us all about the show's legacy. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. A stopgap funding bill to avert a government shutdown at the end of the month is headed to President Biden's desk. The legislation will keep the lights on until December 20th. Lawmakers will now head out of town until after the election. With just 41 days to the vote, Vice President Harris and former President Trump are focused today on the economy. Governor Ron DeSantis is telling Florida residents in the path of Hurricane Helene to leave now.
You have time today to do what you need to do. Once it gets tonight into tomorrow, you're going to be out of time. So make these decisions now. Execute your plan.
The storm is expected to make landfall tomorrow night in the Big Bend area, a Category 4 storm with a possible 20-foot storm surge. President Biden's expected to announce a new package of military aid to Ukraine when he meets with President Zelensky at the White House tomorrow. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's public parks got a D grade for their infrastructure. The American Society of Civil Engineers puts out these reports every year. It notes that Wisconsin's state and local parks need updating, and paying for those would be tough. State parks here have some of the lowest funding in the country. Get this, people in Oshkosh are smelling something funny, and nobody quite knows what it is. Here's Lisa Hale.
Something smells fishy in Oshkosh. Well, maybe not fishy, but definitely unpleasant, unwanted, and sour. Residents on the south side of the city, around Oregon and Michigan streets, near 7th, 8th, and 9th Avenues, are noticing a foul, sour smell permeating buildings. The director of Public Works, James Rabe, says they haven't been able to nail down the source. He's encouraging people who smell the odor to contact Public Works as they try to track it down.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Opioid Awareness Day happens in September. Civic Media's Melissa Kay reports.
It's a vital time to educate ourselves on the dangers of opioid misuse and the life-saving potential of Narcan. An opioid overdose is when patients have more opioids in their system than they can tolerate. Rebecca Tao is a pharmacy resident at Aspyris. She explains how Narcan works.
How this medication works is that it binds to the same area in the brain that the opioid will bind, so it gets rid of the opioids, eliminating the harmful effects of the opioids.
She said it's important to have Narcan on hand if someone in your home is prescribed an opioid for pain management.
Just go to a local pharmacy and ask the pharmacist there if they do carry a Narcan. There's just some paperwork that they have to fill out. But anybody could access the Narcan.
I'm Melissa Kay.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A clear sky tonight, a low in the low 50s. Mostly sunny and warmer for tomorrow, a high in the upper 70s. And near 80 degrees and mostly sunny Friday. For the upcoming weekend, more sunshine than clouds and temps stay mild with highs around 80. It's 69 degrees right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live. Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about the things on which we agree. I know they exist. Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot and Sports with Paul Noonan. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy whose house has an actual wiggle room, Pete Schwabach.
Welcome back. I just saw it. Did you see the people going into the gelato place?
Did they look sad?
They were. It was sad gelato. It was two people in fall now. It's just not the same. All right. Very exciting. Emerson Lehman is on the show tomorrow night. He's Emmy nominated now, and this will be his first visit to the show being Emmy nominated. And it's our popcorn pick of the week tomorrow night as well. So, but right now, I'm excited to bring on a friend of mine who I've known for years and years. We did stand up together back in the day. That's what they say, back in the day, Conrad. You were never in the day. You weren't even here yet. So
no,
don't give me
not.
Any of your crap. His name is Rock Rubin, and he was a writer, a former stand-up comedian. Maybe he still does it. And a writer and executive producer of The King of Queens. And he joins me now on Nightlight. Hey, Rock.
Hey, what's happening, Pete?
Not much. How are you, buddy?
Good to see you. I can't believe you're making me follow Jesse March.
He had to follow Charo, so, you know, I think you're getting the better end of the deal there. So, try to match
I feel
that.
Like I cut off his time, but it's great to see you, pal.
I thought he was coming on at 7:05. It's a whole different thing. It's my bad, but it's great to see you, too. Somehow, I haven't seen you in like 6 years in person, and you look more buff than you did then. How are you doing that? Look at those guns.
I'm so ripped, Pete. It's just a gun show. Well, I'm doing great. We used to have our annual meetups at some weird bar in L.A. We'd always pick
Sherman Oaks, yeah.
The sizzling pineapple and the running shoe.
Slippery pickle.
Yeah, slippery pickle. I miss you, pal.
Yeah, you too, buddy.
It's been too long.
It definitely has. And this is I love where I live, but this is how I connect with people now is on the radio. So I'm glad you could do that. And I really appreciate you being here.
Sure. Anytime.
Before we start on all things show business, I love your Facebook posts, Rock. You seem like a man in turmoil. You've got your East Coast New York teams and then your adopted Southern California teams. Are you in conflict all the time? Who do you root for?
Well, when I moved to L.A., I despised all the teams in L.A. and Boston.
Okay.
So I was hardcore in New York, rooting for New York teams, and they pretty much have been awful for a long time. So when I moved to San Diego, I don't know if you've ever been to Petco Park in San Diego.
Yeah, once.
Holy cow, it's the most beautiful stadium I've ever been to. So I started going to Padres games, and sometimes when the Mets would come into town, I'd try to catch a Padre game. But I started to like the Padres. They had Fernando Tatis and some good ball players.
Yeah.
And so I kind of started to root for them, but I still rooted for my New York teams. This year, the Padres and the Mets are both kind of pretty good. So
yeah.
It's going to be an interesting rooting challenge for me. But I haven't had a team win, and I can't even remember the Giants in 10 years ago.
I was there. We were at your house for that. The Super Bowl against.
Oh.
We came by for the second half. Oh, my God. That's all coming back to me now.
Oh, that's
Brady
so funny.
Was undefeated. They were like 18-0 or something. And that
game.
And Eli played amazing. And he had that throw. And that guy caught it against his helmet. It was
it was
one of the best Super Bowls I've ever seen.
It was. was that the one where our friend Scott Henry, who's.
Yeah.
A Wisconsin guy,
yes.
Actually, right?
Yeah, Milwaukee.
He's a big Wisconsin guy. So Scott, I think it was that Super Bowl party, he and Mike Burton, a Chicago comic.
Oh, I love Mike.
Got into a, like, Mike's a Krav Maga black belt martial arts
Yeah,
guy.
One of,
so
like,
said, well,
300 in the world or something like that. Yeah, it's
yeah,
crazy.
He's a little guy, but he's a bad guy, you know,
right.
A tough guy.
Right.
Scott, who's bigger, said, well, I could do this to you. I could do that. And he goes, Scott, you couldn't. I would. And he goes, Mike, I could do it. And Scott reached out. Mike grabbed him, spun his wrist around, and broke Scott's finger at my Super Bowl party.
How do I not remember that? Oh, that's so
It might have been. It was one of those years, because I used to have one every year.
Okay.
I don't remember if it was that year. It was around that time, though, that this little martial arts demonstration took place in my living room.
That is so fun. I think what's more funny is just two men talking about who can take who. That's something we should have outgrown probably in high school, but that to me is the more, I think that's hilarious.
Scott was a good, Scott was a wrestler in Wisconsin. So he was like, I think runner up in the States or something.
Oh,
like,
really?
He was like a good wrestler, but it, you can't compare that to somebody who knows every martial art. By the way, I haven't been on this software you use before, or I have, but I've never noticed the setting where it says you can touch up your appearance.
Oh,
so I don't know.
I assumed you had done that.
Look at that. I look fantastic.
I mean, skin is glowing.
Can people at home, are we on the radio or?
Well, we have people, we're on the, this is live radio, but we also are on the app and the stream and online and all that kind of stuff. YouTube, Twitter, X, whatever it is. And yeah, you look good, man. I wouldn't worry about it.
All right. Thank you. Well, it's 90% the button that I pushed.
Oh, so you did. Okay. Conrad,
I put it all the way over. Why not?
I'd like to do that.
I'm looking at my face. I'm like, where's all my wrinkles?
This software gives you Botox. So I'd like some of that, Conrad, please, if you would.
Touch him up a little.
So let's talk about King of Queens. This is like such a cool thing. You and I think, got to LA around the same time, 96, 97. You started, I think you were with it for the duration of the show. You had like 9 years, I want to say, nine seasons, a great run.
Yeah, 9 season, 208 episodes,
I think.
It's a lot of episodes. It was, you know, it's funny because it was my first job in Hollywood. And when you go 9 years on your first show, you assume, well, every show I do is going to be 9 years. It's just, that's how it goes. And then you realize how talented the cast was, which, you know, I was new to Hollywood. I didn't, you know, I knew Kevin James. We had known each other from stand-up, and he brought me in graciously to write for the show. So I never knew how talented everybody was in the moment. You know, I knew they were funny, but I assumed every show had a cast full of funny people. And, you know better than anyone, you know, you don't always, not everybody kind of locks into what you wrote and all those things. But we were just so lucky with Jerry Stiller and Leah Remini and Kevin James, and then Patton Oswalt and Nicole Sullivan, Victor Williams, on and on, Gary Valentine, and great guest cast. Lou Ferrigno was a semi-regular of all people.
Jeez.
Bryan Cranston was kind of, you know, I won't say unknown, but he literally, right after doing The King of Queens, Bryan Cranston went on to Malcolm in the Middle, Breaking Bad, Emmys, you know, all kinds of awards.
Yeah.
On the kid from Entourage, he was heavy set at the time. I forget the names of the characters on the show, but he was a little kid on our show. He was like 12 years old.
Wow.
He did King of Queens. Next thing you know, watching Entourage, that's kid that was on our show. It's amazing to see, you know, we had older celebrities pass through, you know, that, you know, William Hurt did the show. So many great actors that were a little bit older, and then young people came through the cast and they're starring in their own shows now. So it was an amazing experience to see a show run for that long. And so many people passed through the stage that were unbelievably talented.
I remember you invited me to a couple of punch up sessions on various projects, and you had a lot of King of Queens writers there. And I remember you had one guy who had written, Tony Sheehan, I think was his name, had written for Barney Miller, and another guy who wrote for Cheers. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it was like everybody was a heavy hitter. And I was impressed with, like, because I hadn't done any like half hour writing. I was kind of trying to do the screenplay thing, but I was amazed at how collaborative and how you guys all complimented each other, and you really see the benefits of a really cohesive writing staff. And it sure seems like that's what you had at King of Queens.
Yeah, it was great. You know, writing staffs, people can, it's like a team or anything else. They can gel and, you know, a synergy takes place.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it doesn't quite, people don't fit. It's bad combinations of people. We were so lucky on that show to have great writers come through. And I knew how to write a joke because of doing stand-up, and I felt I knew a little bit about comedy.
Yeah.
But I didn't know anything about writing sitcoms, storytelling. And all those guys like Tony Sheehan, Michael Whitehorn, so many writers I learned from. And it wasn't like they were like guarding their secrets. It was,
yeah,
hey, you know, next time look at it this way. Or when you're trying to write a scene, here's how I do it. And I sort of cobbled together a little bit from everybody. And then as I went along and I learned more and more and more, I've had young writers come to me and I know what it's like to be the new guy in the room. You don't really know what you're doing. You tend to think, oh, they're paying me all this money, I got to talk constantly, which slows the room down, right. You know? So it's like, it was a great experience to kind of go through that whole process with great people for the most part.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Special.
My guest is Rock Rubin. He was an executive producer for The King of Queens, which dropped this week in 1998. Does it seem like it's been that long, Rock? And also, you mentioned the guest stars you had. So many, Patton Oswalt, Gary Valentine. Who are some of your favorites, like, that you'd get excited when you go, oh, so-and-so's here today?
You know, I mentioned Lou Ferrigno. So I think I pitched him as a neighbor because Lou Ferrigno, I believe, is from Queens or Brooklyn. We were trying to think of this character who could be an oddball friend for Jerry Stiller. And I think it was me. It might have been someone else. But we landed on Lou Ferrigno, who, as I don't know how the audience, how much they know about him, but he was born more or less deaf.
Yeah.
He's had cochlear implants over the years and he wears hearing aids, but we didn't know what he could hear. And as you know, in a play or in a sitcom in front of an audience, there's laughter and noise. And sometimes, you know, you really got to hear your cue to say your line. You know, it can be confusing for anybody to do, much less someone with, we weren't sure how much he could hear or not hear. But he was so funny and such good timing. You know, once in a while he'd go, I'm sorry, I didn't get that, you know, or something. But for the most part, spot on. So what was supposed to be kind of a one-off episode, we just kept going because Jerry Stiller would go at him so hard and so inappropriately that you wondered when Lou was going to snap Arthur's head off his shoulders. But they were kind of a funny team and they liked working together. So one day I was on stage and I had my Super Bowl party, as we were just talking about. So I'm telling some of the actors on stage, by the way, here's what we got. And Lou was nearby and I didn't know if he heard it and I didn't know him. You know, I knew him very briefly. And he comes up, he goes, did I hear you say you're having a Super Bowl party? I go, yeah, this Saturday, this Sunday when the game's on.
Yeah.
Starts around 1 o'clock, whatever. And I go, more than welcome, love to have you. And he goes, okay. I never thought in a million years he would show up.
Wow.
The first person to knock on the door at like 5 to 1 was Lou and his wife. They came in. So we're still kind of, you know, when you're in that last minute of
buckling your belt,
out the dip. And Lou Ferrigno's in my kitchen and I go, help yourself. Oh, thank you. You know, and he's doing the whole thing. And then honestly, we used to have, I don't know how many were at the party you went to, but we'd have like 40, 50, 60, 70 people at these parties sometimes. And everybody that came in would come up to me and they go, what the hell is Lou Ferrigno doing? I go, it's just how I roll.
Is that the Hulk?
I bring the Hulk.
He's this year's superhero. What do you want me to say?
That was so funny because it's not like normally you go, there might be some actors there that'll bother him or whatever to some of our friends. But I didn't know he was going to be there, you know, so I didn't give anybody a heads up.
Yeah.
And everybody, it was just awesome to see the look when people look and go,
cool.
The double take of like, is that the Hulk in his living room? What's he doing? So that was fun. But I would say that was the most fun one because I became friendly with him and, you know,
that's one of those great little perks of being in show business, you know. I want to ask you next, Rock, we got to do a quick thing. I want to ask you about Jerry Stiller. Sure. He's one of my favorites. So we'll do that. We'll have a couple more minutes with Rock Rubin coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Picket signs. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
The Wisconsin Badgers are playing in California this Saturday, and who has it all covered for you? Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show.
I'm going to L.A. It's the first time that the Badgers have gone out and played one of the new schools. The Badgers taking on USC.
Don't miss a show or any of the fun leading up to the Badgers-USC game. It's the Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon to 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
When I went up north a couple of weeks ago, and there was a line of about 14 people.
That guy should get a ticket.
Because everybody kept pulling out to try to see if you could pass.
Right. I feel bad when I'm flipping off these old people, because I don't think that's nice.
Well, you shouldn't do that.
I know I shouldn't do that.
Next week's headline, former Green Bay Mayor gets tased from Michigan State Police. Details at 9.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. The Todd Alba Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Pat Kreitlow, words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Vicky is watching us on the stream, and she says, "Loved King of Queens." So there you go, Rock. That's
that's awesome to
hear. Yeah. You know, we were talking earlier about, I'm amazed that, like, it was a popular show when it was on. It was like a top 10 show, if I remember correctly. But so many people have found it in reruns. I have so many friends that have said they watch it every night in reruns. And so was that a surprise? Or it's a pleasant one, I'm sure, but that must have been kind of a shock.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't a hit. It wasn't an A-lister type hit show. We were kind of like 14th. 20th, okay. 18th, 9th, you know, right. In the ratings. Very good. It was very good. But we were on at 8 o'clock and Raymond was on at 9 o'clock. And the way viewership works, or back in the day before streaming, yeah, and all that kind of stuff, was an 8 o'clock show would rarely get more viewers than a 9 o'clock show. The audience, you know, people are working, they come home, and then they would tune in later. So we were a little bit handicapped by being starting off the night, they call it. We started off Monday nights on CBS. So it was a solid show. It was very solid, ran long, very successful, but way more successful in terms of numbers in syndication. It's been going. We went off the air in 2009. I think it's renewed until 2029.
Wow.
They keep renewing it on different, you know, different, yeah, platforms. So it's been incredible. Like, people who I talk to or meet, they always say, I never watched it when it was on. It was such a good show. We started watching it in syndication. So yeah, I think that's an interesting phenomenon. There's other shows that were bigger hits that do worse in syndication. So,
right. Yeah. I think it's just people don't have the time, or they watch it once and then 3 weeks go by, because when it's on every week, but when it's on every night, like right before you go to bed, it's almost like you can't not watch it. Just tell me what he was so funny. I was watching Seinfeld the other night, and there was a scene where he plays Mr. Costanza on that show before he joined King of Queens, and he just looks at George and he says, "Tommy Toon was very tall." And then he whacks George on the head with the TV guy. Like, the guy can literally say anything, jokey or not, yes, and he's just funny.
He is dipped in funny. Was dipped in funny sauce.
Yeah,
he really was. He moved funny. He ate funny. He held things like he had very large hands. So he held things like almost like a orangutan, you know, like upside down. But he was just so naturally gifted and funny and hardworking. Interesting story is they shot the pilot. I don't know if we ever talked about this, but they shot the pilot for King of Queens with another actor in the Arthur role, Jack Carter. Do you remember Jack Carter, the old comedian?
Yeah.
He was on all the roasts back in the day and very funny guy. He was good in it, but for whatever reason, it didn't test well with him. So Les Moonves, who was in charge of CBS at that time, told Michael Whitehorn, the show creator, and Kevin James, I will pick the show up if you get Jerry Stiller. We had offered Jerry the show, and he said, no, I'm a New Yorker. I live in New York. My wife's in New York. Like, I don't want to go out to L.A. So he turned it down. So Kevin and Michael flew to New York and basically kissed Jerry's ass any possible way you could and said, you're a genius. We don't get to pick up without you. We need you, please. So they worked out a deal where he was in two out of every three shows.
Okay.
So he'd come for 2 weeks and then go home for 2 weeks. And then they added up a private jet for him and they got him an assistant and people to carry his bags and whatever it took to keep him coming back. So, he was the first choice, but turned it down and then became the only choice. It was pretty great.
Can you imagine being at a point in your career where you're offered a part as a regular on a network sitcom and you go, I don't even understand. I know there are people. I didn't know he would be the kind of guy that would do that. Like, he's done well. He's had an incredible career. That's serious scratch you're turning down there.
Yeah. Well, he had an interesting story that he told me was he and Ann Mira were big in the 50s and 60s and 70s. Yeah. His wife, also comedian. They were a comedy duo, for those who don't know.
Yeah.
And then she sort of went on to have a little bit of a bigger acting career than him. And he did a few things, but then he said when he was in his 60s, the phone stopped ringing, but Ann kept working. And so he would do plays in New York and, you know, but he wasn't doing TV or film and he thought his career was over. And Larry David called to do Seinfeld, I think it was supposed to be a one episode deal. I'm not positive about that, and crushed, and they loved him and he was great. So he was reoccurring. And I think he was in his, I would say about 70, early 70s at the time. The prospect of work, it's a long week. It's a lot of work. I don't think he was really up for it. And his wife was in New York. And how would they make that happen? So we ended up writing her in just because she would come out anyway. So we made him their star-crossed lovers in a way. She played Patton's mom, Spence's mom. And they were both great. And the best part of our tapings were after shows, they would invite a few people into their dressing room for a cocktail. And they would just go on about stories about Richard Pryor being at their Passover dinner. And, you know, Mort Saul, all the greats, Lenny Bruce, all these comics, legends, would come to their house for a Seder. They were the only Jews probably, or one of the few, but they all came and laughed and drank and maybe smoked pot. Don't quote me on that.
Rock.
But
we got to run. Can we make this a part two in the near future? I have so much more to talk to you about. All right. I really appreciate your time tonight. We'll do it again soon. We got to talk about Madison next time too. I got stories.
Yes.
So we'll, that's where we met. Have a great night. Thank you so much, buddy. I appreciate the time.
You bet it. Thanks, everybody.
All right. That's Rock Rubin. I'd like to thank Charo and Jesse March as well. Emerson Lehman coming up tomorrow night, and it's a popcorn pick of the week. Thanks for being here tonight. On behalf of Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Todd Allball.
Hey everybody, join us next time as our West Coast trip continues live from Los Angeles, California, Hermosa Beach. Kelly Call, former CBS executive and producer of Just a Bit Outside, joins us live.
The Todd Allball Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Everyone on the road is trying to make it to their destination safely. You can help by staying aware of the large trucks and buses around you. They take longer to stop, have large blind spots, and make wide turns that require caution from other drivers. It takes all of us working together to share the road safely. Learn more at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov. Paid for by FMCSA.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.